So we're thinking about ways to achieve healthcare savings. We want to remind you of our question. President Obama at about noon today is going to say that he's found $2 trillion in voluntary cost savings from the healthcare industry, the costs of which are rising double the inflation rate. Wow. Where would you start to bring down the cost of healthcare? Look at your own budget. How would you bring down healthcare costs? If they can find $2 trillion now, what were they doing a decade ago? Call us with your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Well, as Femi just said, the Pope is visiting the Middle East today. There's also a flurry of diplomatic efforts to restart Mideast peace talks. And the BBC's diplomatic correspondent, Jonathan Marcus, is with me now. Jonathan, King Abdullah of Jordan says the U.S. is putting final touches on this diplomatic plan to offer peace in the Middle East. Explain what's going on.
Well, it's absolutely fascinating. I mean, it looks to be based on the principle that if you can't solve one problem in isolation, make the problem bigger, bring in all the problems and try and resolve them all at once. King Abdullah, in an extensive interview with the Times newspaper of London, is really setting out the thinking behind what he sees as what's going on in Washington, an emphasis on trying to achieve a comprehensive peace deal in the Middle East, not just a settlement for the Palestinians, but peace between Israel and Syria, between Israel and Lebanon too, but broader than that even, what King Abdullah calls a 57-state solution, basically peace between Israel and the whole of the Arab and Muslim world.
That's quite ambitious, as you say. And also, you know, there's a bunch of other talks coming up. You've got Hosni Mubarak, the Egyptian president, talking to, you know, just today to Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, and they're going to meet with President Obama in days. What's going on with that?
Well, this is all part and parcel, one supposes, of the elements that will go towards the unfolding of this wider plan. You're quite right. Prime Minister Netanyahu in Egypt today, in Washington next week. Obviously, another key date will be early June, when President Obama is due to give this keynote speech in Cairo, and it's suggested he may set out some of his thinking during that speech. Of course, I think many analysts will be wondering. I mean, it is a hugely ambitious and brave thing to do. America, in fact, there hasn't been this kind of comprehensive diplomacy for almost 20 years now. You have to go back to the Madrid talks in 1991. But clearly, there seems to be a lot of diplomatic movement in the undergrowth, if you like. And the stakes are very high. King Abdullah himself warning that if there is not some significant step towards a comprehensive peace, then there could be renewed conflict in the region within as short a period as 12 to 18 months.
Well, Jonathan, you say brave, but I'm wondering if ridiculous could possibly come to mind. The Obama administration has signaled fairly clearly that it is interested, as interested as King Abdullah is, in these final status issues, using them as a kind of a framework for talks. Can the Israeli domestic political scene absorb that kind of a ambitious agenda here? We've already got a fairly fragile government in Israel. It's a narrow right-wing coalition, and the point man who was announced as the person who's responsible for the U.S.-Israel relationship is significantly opposed to a two-state solution.
Well, I'm not entirely sure that's 100% correct. I think the difficulty is this. Clearly, this is not an Israeli government that believes that there are any significant openings towards peace anytime soon. So it's retrenching. It's trying to take the safe option to manage things. And now, I suppose there are many people who might argue that given real opportunities on the peace front, that government perhaps might collapse under the weight of its own internal contradictions. It clearly is a rather stranger coalition that is in place in Israel. I think the difficulty, though, is that you can see in isolation how you would bring about peace between Israel and the key Arab states. The much greater problem is how you are going to bring in the non-state actors, Hamas, Hezbollah in Lebanon. Hezbollah may well emerge from the coming Lebanese elections in a much stronger position. What about Iran's role in the region, that sort of looming presence over the whole thing from a little further away? So I think that is the difficulty, that a comprehensive deal in any reasonable time frame is going to be incredibly difficult to achieve. I suppose the optimists would say that in the absence of such an attempt at a deal, then King Abdullah might well be right. There might be a return to armed conflict, and therefore that you actually cannot take the risk of doing nothing. But I think if this is the direction the Obama administration is going in, then it is an immensely bold and brave, and you're right, some people might say a foolhardy approach, but it certainly looks as though he's going to be breaking the mold, if you like, of Middle Eastern diplomacy in the coming weeks.
Jonathan, just quickly, we see these continual flashpoints in the Middle East, you know, Gaza on. What really is the flashpoint right now? When, you know, it strikes me that when King Abdullah says that, you know, there could be war, what's the big flashpoint we're looking at?
Well, the big flashpoints, I think, involve those two non-state actors, if you want to call them that. I mean, clearly, in the Gaza Strip, whilst there is a relative lull at the moment between Israel and Hamas, very little has been resolved in the wake of Israel's operations in the Gaza Strip. There is no lasting ceasefire. There are no better arrangements for bringing supplies and power and so on to the people inside the Gaza Strip. So that is a huge looming problem. The other possibility, of course, is renewed conflict across Israel's border with Lebanon involving Hezbollah.
Well, thanks so much, Jonathan. We're talking to Jonathan Marcus, the BBC's diplomatic correspondent.